I was prepared for the Holy Spirit to move upon one of our children to preach the message to you this morning. Thank you, Miss Nancy, for that prayer. I can speak on behalf of all our parents, particularly our homeschool parents, and say that we need all the prayer we can get. So thank you very much for that. In 541 AD, it is widely believed that merchant ships crossing the Mediterranean Sea that were infested with rats and fleas were responsible for the first known cases of what we have come now to call bubonic plague. The ensuing pandemic that resulted in many deaths during the next couple centuries of recurrence claimed the lives of estimates anywhere between 50 and 100 million people. It's quite the outbreak. In 590, the plague struck Rome, bringing with it fear and panic and death right into the heart of the known world. And in response, the new bishop of Rome, who went by the name Gregory the First or Gregory the Great, issued a decree for all the people of the empire to pray unceasingly for God's divine intervention to put an end to the devastating pestilence. Now, included in his decree were instructions on how to respond when you came across somebody who sneezed. You guessed it. Say it with me. God bless you. God bless you. Now, you and I say God bless you today when someone sneezes just automatically. It's an unthinking, ubiquitous, automatic response. But at that time, it meant a whole lot more than how we mean it today. For those people, sneezing could have indicated plague. And so saying God bless you was a serious prayer of intercession on behalf of that person and their life and their safety, as well as your own. Now, you and I, as good Christians, we say God bless you more frequently than just when someone sneezes, don't we? We say it, really, if you listen for it, all the time. Which, of course, begs the question, as it has every week for all these expressions that Christians like to say, what does that mean when we say God bless you to one another? Well, to look briefly at this Christian cliche, the final of our series, before we wrap it up and start something different next week, turn with me, if you would, to the sixth chapter of the book of Numbers. So it's going to be towards the beginning of your Bible, Numbers chapter 6. We're going to read just a few short verses, beginning in verse 22 and ending in verse 27. Numbers 6:22. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them." Now, by the end of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, this formal act of blessing had become firmly linked to the work of the priests. These words constituted the priestly blessing that was mentioned back in Leviticus chapter 9. So in Leviticus chapter 9, you had the sacrifices that the priests were to perform on behalf of the people, and at the conclusion of the sacrifices, the priests would say this benediction blessing over the people. Now, the biblical concept of blessing, however, finds its origins in the earliest chapters of the Bible. If you're looking to understand what blessing is, what blessing means, you don't go to Leviticus 9 or to Numbers chapter 6. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. You see, back in Genesis chapter 1, in that creation account of how God spoke the world and all and everything in the universe into existence, we see that God himself pronounces blessing upon his creation. We're told that God blessed all the living things, that they would be fruitful, that they would multiply. And then in the beginning of Genesis chapter 2, God blesses the seventh day of creation, setting it apart as a holy day of rest. God's word in creation issued forth, and it effected blessing to his creation. Fertility, authority, peace, and rest. And then you come to Genesis chapter 12, and God once again pronounces blessing. But this time he pronounces a very special blessing upon a man named Abraham and his descendants. God told Abraham that he would make himself known to Abraham, and he would make himself known in the context of a covenantal relationship. By faith, Abraham would be made right with God, and from this relationship that he would have with God would come the blessings of family and wealth and a great name. But even beyond that, the benefit of this relationship is that all the families of the world would come to experience God's blessing through Abraham and his family. So, throughout the generations, the blessings for Abraham and his descendants would be pronounced to the next generation through fathers and through priests and through kings. And the benefits of right relationship with God would be prosperity and peace and fulfillment. Now, all of these ideas, in some degree or another, are captured in this priestly blessing of Numbers chapter 6. Notice the threefold mentioning of God the Lord. The Lord bless you and protect you. He is the one true God. He is the providential Lord whose power is to provide for his people, to keep his people safe and secure. The Lord bless you and protect or keep you. The Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. He is the all-benevolent. He is the all-gracious one, the one who offers life and deliverance and renewal through his mighty acts of salvation. The Lord show his favor and give you his peace. That expression, show you his favor, literally translated means the Lord lift his face to you, lift his countenance to you. It's a picture of God's divine love and approval and acceptance. Like a father looks upon his child, God looks upon his children and gives his personal assurance of favor and acceptance and love. And so, the priests would fulfill the requirements of the law. They would make sacrifices on behalf of the people. Blood would be shed that the people's sins could be forgiven. And as this expression of worship and submission and faith would be completed, the priest would raise his hands and bless the people with these words, in the name of the Lord. And when he would do that, we're told in verse 27, whenever Aaron and his children would bless the people in this way, we are told God, this is God speaking, I myself will bless them. He will superintend and he will effect these blessings upon his people. Now, what does this mean for you and I, for you and me today? Well, just as the blessings of God were pronounced through fathers and priests and kings in the Old Testament, so too were the blessings of God pronounced through his apostles in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, gives one of the most amazing expressions of blessing you'll find in the entire Bible. He says in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. You see, for Israel, the covenant blessings were tied to the promised land. Safety and health and good harvests and so on and so forth. But these were never meant to be the sum total of God's blessings for his people. The promised land and the blessings contained therein were all meant to serve to point beyond themselves to greater blessings that were to come. And in this case, Paul says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And these are available, he says, in Christ. Which tells me that Christ is the sphere or the realm in which you and I experience God's blessings. He is the one in whom all the promises made to Abraham and to his descendants are ultimately fulfilled. It's connected to God's initial promise. All the way back in Genesis chapter 12, God fulfills it in Christ. He is the one in whom the identity of the one true God is fully made known and revealed. If you want to know who God is, you can only know him by his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one in whom the mighty acts of salvation on our behalf are performed. That Exodus event, that great event in Israel's history that defined their understanding of what it means to be delivered and to be saved, was only meant ultimately to point the people of God ahead to a greater Exodus to come. One where God would deliver his people, not from an earthly tyrannical foe, but from the spiritual foe of sin and death. God would deliver his people once and for all through a mighty act of salvation. And he has in his Son. Jesus Christ is the one in whom a new life-giving covenant would be established and experienced. God has withheld no spiritual blessing. And all of that he has offered to us have already been made available to us in his Son. When we went through Ephesians a couple of years ago in Bible study, one of the things that struck me as I dove in to this whole first chapter for at that level of depth for the first time in my life, I'd never studied quite that hard. And what I couldn't help but notice is just how strongly Paul links this idea of blessing, spiritual blessing, every spiritual blessing to the triune nature of God. And so throughout the chapter, he will explain what every spiritual blessing means. So he goes on to describe the past blessing of the Father in election. That before the creation of the world, before time even existed, God, we're told, loved us. The Father loved us. The Father committed himself to us. The Father had in his mind to join us together with his Son. And in so doing, he would make us holy and adopt us as his own children. Do you know God had that in his mind before he created the world? The past blessing of election is a beautiful blessing that we only receive and experience in Christ. Paul will talk about the present blessing of the Son in securing our redemption. That by his blood, not the blood of goats and bulls and sheep, those could never fully satisfy God's wrath against sin. It can never fully atone for the things that you and I have done that have separated us from him. It is only by the perfect blood of his perfect Son in a perfect sacrifice that you and I can gain freedom and forgiveness for our sins. The present blessing of redemption through the Son. And then Paul would complete the Trinitarian expression here by pointing to the blessings of the Holy Spirit as a foretaste, a promise, a guarantee in earnest of our future inheritance that is breaking into the present today. Again, Paul will link blessing with triune life at the end of the second letter to the Corinthians, just as Carly so perfectly read or recited from memory this morning. It's beautiful. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice the connection of full blessing with the fullness of who God is. It is for these reasons that when the early church fathers were processing all this revelation, what all these things could mean, that they would go back to that priestly blessing back in Numbers chapter 6, and they reinterpreted it in relation to the Trinity. Again, the Lord is invoked three times. May the Lord do this. May the Lord do this. May the Lord do this. The Father, the providential keeper of all. The Son, who radiates God's grace and mercy. The Holy Spirit, who is his peacemaking gift, applying to our hearts the life and the rest and the full blessings of God. Every spiritual blessing is available to us today from the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. Therefore, whether you realize it or not, when you and I say, God bless you to one another, we're not saying, may your harvest be plentiful. May your children be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Most of us are like, we're not asking that God would give us whatever material thing we desire, but no, we are saying, may you know, may you experience every spiritual blessing already available to you through Jesus Christ. He has made it all accessible and available to you and me. May God bless you in him. There is an old tradition of the Jews where the priest would bless the people with these words from number 6 at the conclusion of the morning sacrifice, but not at the conclusion of the evening sacrifice. Why? Well, the point is this. The point is to illustrate to the people how in the last days of the Messiah, which they consider to be the evening of the world, in those last days, the benediction of the law would cease and the blessing of the Messiah would begin. Now, you and I both know as Christians that the blessings of the Messiah have already arrived. We wait no longer for the Christ to come and for the evening of the world to begin, for the blessings, the benediction of the law to cease and the blessings of the Messiah to begin. We live in that blessing today. And it's interesting to me that at the end of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, we're told the last thing that Jesus did before ascending into heaven was this. He lifted his hands toward heaven and he blessed his disciples. But guess what else he did? In verse 51, it says, while he was blessing them, in the act of blessing them, we're told he left them and was taken up into heaven. Isn't that significant? That the last act of Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, was to bless, but as he blessed, he was taken away from them. It tells me that his blessings that he's blessing his disciples with do not end. They continue to this day, issuing forth from his place at the right hand of the Father. Jesus blesses you now. You are blessed in him continuously today. And so we're told in the final two verses of Luke, that they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple of God praising him. The people of God worship God not just for all that he has done, but for all he continues to do. We worship him because the blessings of his kingdom are available to us today. The end of the world has crashed into the present. And because of that, in Christ, we experience life that never ends. We experience hope and joy that are unshakable and unspeakable. We enjoy the benefits of protection and him keeping us from the evil one. We heard about it this morning. We experience in the midst of the suffering a peace that passes all understanding, that makes no sense, a peace that the world cannot give you. But Jesus says, I give you this peace. This is my peace that I alone can give you. All the benefits of God's active presence and reign in our hearts are available to you today. And these are the blessings we pronounce to one another. God bless you. It's more than a trite cliche. It is a call to remember all that God has done for us in Christ. It is a call to delight in the benefits of life and salvation that are made available in him alone. It is a call to be the covenant people he has called us to be by the power of his Holy Spirit. The writer of Hebrews says, we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. And we know that we, because of our great high priest, have become a priestly people, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, making music to the Lord in our hearts, and giving thanks to God for all things in the name of Jesus. Therefore, the writer of the Hebrews continues, let us hold firmly to this faith we profess, and let us declare it one to another. It is with this in mind that we come to the closing portion of our service, where we're inviting you to come to God in faith and ask him to touch and to heal and to make new in a way that only he can do. So I'm going to invite the Pastor Aaron and Pastor Jeff and Pastor CD and their wives, if they're able, to come. My wife, please come. And they're going to position themselves across the front here. We're going to have four stations. Here in a moment, I'm going to pray. Then I will come down and take my place next to my wife. And we're going to invite you, after I pray, as you feel led, to come and have one of these wonderful folks here pray over your life, to pray for your needs. There's no pressure to participate. You can come and be involved at any level. If you want to just stay in your seat and pray silently and reflect, that is up to you. But if you desire to come for healing, we pray that you come as you feel led, and let us apply the sign of the cross to your forehead with oil, which is nothing more than a symbol of God's active presence and power to heal. Let us pray over your life and for your needs. And my only request is that when you are the last person before coming up to be prayed, that you leave enough room for whoever's being prayed for to have some privacy. That is my only request. In James chapter 5, we're told that when we are in need of physical or spiritual healing, that we call for the elders of the church to come and pray over us and anoint us with oil in the name of the Lord. And in 1 John chapter 5, John points out that our prayers of intercession on behalf of one another are a source of life one to another. And so, by the active presence and power of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may these moments to follow be life-giving to his people. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for being the providential keeper of all. Thank you that in you we have refuge and strength. You guard our souls. And you have chosen from before the foundation of the world to unite us to your Son, and therefore make us sons and daughters by grace. Jesus, we praise you and thank you for securing for us life-giving redemption and forgiveness from our sins. Come and be ministering to your people here today, applying by your Spirit to us the benefits of your sacrifice in our behalf. Atone us, make us at one with the Father, and touch and heal our bodies as our great physician. Holy Spirit, have your way in these coming moments. Heal as you will. Give faith as you will. Awaken and convict us of sin as you will. And in all things, point our minds and hearts to Christ and the Father, bringing glory to your name. Lord, have your way in our midst. We give ourselves to you. We don't demand you to move. We don't seek to manipulate you to move. We come to you humbly and in faith, asking you to move according to your own will and timing. And we will trust you and praise you and live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as you feel led.